God is faithful, amen. It's good to be in His house when He shows up and His presence is among us. I want you to go with me to Psalms chapter 42 this morning. Psalm chapter 42, and we'll preach what the Lord has put on our hearts this morning to give to you. It's an honor to stand in this pulpit. I consider Brother Allen one of my fathers of the faith and one of the men that have encouraged me and helped me along the way, been a friend to me, and I appreciate Brother Allen and this church, and we feel at home when we come here, and we love preaching to you folks in this church, and I look around, and I think about all you guys that have meant so much from the time I was little boys to my life, and I appreciate you, and it's an honor to be in this camp meeting with you. Let's look at Psalms chapter 42. If you found your place, would you stand in reverence to God's Word this morning? I want to read the first five verses of Psalm 42. It says, "As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is Thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, and I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept the holy day." I want you to focus on verse 5 with me. Psalmist says, "Why art thou cast down within, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance." I want to look at verse 5 once again, and I want you to notice what Psalmist says. He begins to speak to himself. He says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God." I want to preach today with the Lord's help when to talk to ourselves about God. Let us pray. Father, we thank You this morning. We praise You for the opportunity we have to be in this house this morning. Father, how we have been made to sit in heavenly places. God, we have heard some of the best singing and some of the best preaching we've ever heard in our lives this week. And Lord, You have fed our souls. You have spoke to us. You have ministered to us. You have drawn us closer to the cross of Calvary. God, You have done things in our lives this week that only Your Holy Spirit can do. And Father, we've come to another time of preaching Your Word. And we pray for Your Holy Ghost anointing, Lord, upon us, Your mouthpiece. Father, we know Your Word's anointed. We know You have a Word for us today. And God, I pray that You would anoint and help us as Your man to preach Your Word. And God, I pray for everyone sitting in this place this morning. Would You anoint their heart and their ears to hear what You want to say to them this morning. God bless us, we pray. And Lord, we thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm a preacher who loves reading the Psalms. You say, why, Brother Jason? I believe that the Psalms are ones that play on all the strings of our emotions. I look through the Psalms and I think, man, they meet us in despair when it feels like all hope is gone. They lift us on wings of praise and give us songs when we're in the middle of the night. And as I begin to look in this passage of Scripture, I thought about what Charles Spurgeon said. He said, when David begins to get into this psalm, it is as if David is talking David out of the dumps.
That's right.
David begins to speak to himself, and David begins to challenge himself and begin to encourage himself. It's almost as if he begins to argue with himself as his hope overwhelms his joy. And he is as two men talking here. But you see something in verse 5 of this passage that Psalmist does. He says, why art thou cast down and why art thou disquieted? When you look at that word disquieted, it means to be anxious. And to be cast down means to be down in the dumps, if you would, in his soul and his spirit. And David begins to question himself, and I want you to look at some things that David is dealing with here. Listen, I want you to understand this morning that David says in verse number 4, he said, I remember when I went to the multitude, to your house. I remember, Lord, when I worshiped you in joy and in praise. And I remember, God, when I kept the holy day and I felt your power and I felt your presence and I felt your anointing and I felt your hand upon me. I felt the Holy Ghost move upon me when I come into the house of God, and I experienced the presence and I knew the power of God was upon me. But David says, I've come to a place in my life that my tears is all I can find. I've lost my joy. I'm dealing with sorrow, and my tears now are beginning to well upon me and ask me, where is your God? He begins to say, my sorrow has begun to overwhelm me. I remember that there was a time, he said, that I sat in the presence of God. I remember a time that God showed himself mighty to me. I remember a time that I went to his house and I had the joy of the Lord and I had the presence of the Lord. But something has happened, David said, that has caused me to move back from that place. You say, what is it, Brother Jason? Listen, upon the authority of the Word of God, I can tell you that we know Jesus says, I'm the same yesterday and today and forever, and I change not. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He promises He'll always be with us. So we know that Psalmist David understands it was not God that had moved from David. It was David that had moved from God. When I begin to look at that passage of Scripture and I begin to think about what God was trying to help us with, listen, the thing that I found in my heart and my soul as I begin to research and dig into this passage, living souls can never take up their rest short of a living God. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? Your soul will never find rest outside of the living God. I believe we've come to a place in the church today that we become so busy and we become so wrapped up with our lives and with our things to do and what we've got going on every day that's caused us to be so busy. We've lost the preciousness of spending time with God. We've lost the preciousness of a sweet hour of prayer. We've lost the importance of praise that Brother Allen described to us brings us into worship. I love how he explained that this week, that praise is what we do. Worship is when God shows up. Amen. And listen, we've got so busy, we've not taken time. Oh, it's easy when the band strikes a chord and the singers begin to sing to come in and get all welled up in our soul and get excited about what they're singing. But listen, I want you to understand that a real relationship with God is not just on Sunday mornings, not just on Sunday night, but a real relationship with God is that you spend time in His presence on Monday. You spend time in His presence on Tuesday. You spend time Wednesday through Sunday worshiping God and praising God and reminding yourself of a God who is faithful. When I look at this passage of Scripture, what I see is David begins to speak to himself. You say, what do you mean, Brother Jason? I've got two boys and my little girl's coming along, and you've watched my two boys. They're energetic and they're exciting and they love life. But there are times, listen, they're good boys, but there's times I have to set them down. And I have to look them in the eye, Brother Derek, and I have to say, what was you thinking? You know better than what you just done. You know better than what you're acting. I have told you and taught you. I've done this with Noah just the other day. I said, Noah, you're 8 years old. I've spent 8 years pouring truth into your life. And I said, I know you're a kid, son. I know you like to have fun, but you know better. You say, preacher, why'd you bring that? Not to embarrass my kids, but here's what God showed me. That's exactly what David was doing to David. David began to scold David, if you would. David began to talk to David. David said, David, you know better than to be in the position you're in. David, you know that God is faithful. You know better than the way that you're acting and the way that you're behaving and the attitude that you're carrying right now. He said, David, I believe David began to speak to himself, and you look at it. He said, hey, my soul panteth after the water brooks as a deer pants after God, as a deer pants for the water brook. Now, I'm not no great hunter, but I know I've been with some good ones. And they'll tell you, hey, Brother Craig Valines is a great hunter now. And he took me last year and he said, hey, if we can get down the path where they'll funnel down toward the water, he said, we'll see some big bucks. And I begin to watch Brother Craig, and he'll move around while he's hunting, trying to trace where they're going. He's got a key to it. He tells me, he said, hey, I know where all my watering holes is. And he said, I sneak around to them water holes. He said, because that's where the deer's going to. David began to talk to himself, and he begins to remind himself, there was a time I had the anointing presence of God upon my life. There was a time I went to the house of God, and God showed up. There was a time that I would get in the presence of God, and He would fill me, and I would know I basked in the presence of God. You say, why is that? But listen, I believe David had went to the house of God now, and he's not experiencing what he once experienced. He's not feeling what he once felt. He's down in the dumps because he's going to the house of God, and he's not experiencing God in the way that he knows God will show up. Listen, I believe there's a lot of people in the church today that they've once had a presence of God upon them. They've once felt the power of God, but they're wondering, what in the world is going on? They want to blame it because they're not singing the right song. They want to blame it because somebody else or something else is going on in the church. And they don't realize it's them who have backed up from God. David begins to say, God, I'm longing for you. As a deer longs for the water, God, I'm longing for you. And David begins to speak to himself. He says, so why are you disquiet? Here's what I begin to think about as David began to speak on this. He says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, my soul? David begins to remind himself of this right here. Thank you, sis. David says, you know, there is no satisfaction in God's court if we don't meet God Himself there. Can I say that to you again? There is no satisfaction in the house of God if we don't meet God Himself there. My dad travels a lot, and I love my dad. He's one of my heroes, not because he's my dad. You'll hear him Sunday. He's one of the best.
Yes, he is.
And I love him. He's not only my pastor all my life, but my dad's my best friend. We love to play golf together. We love to pick on each other. We love to have fun together. Dad has given me a key to his house. And Dad will tell me, now, Jay, go by there and check things. Go by and make sure my mail's in the house. Go by and make sure that I turn that air conditioner down. Or if he's coming in, he'll say, make sure the heat's up or the air's on. And listen, I have had some great, I can tell you, and if you sit around our family, you know we've got some stories now. We can tell of things that's happened. Great memories in my childhood of things that's happened with my dad. But can I tell you something, Brother Allen? When I go in, I unlock that door and I walk in there, and Dad and Mom's not there. It's their house. But it is not the same. There is something missing there that has made that place special to me. And when Mom and Dad's not there, it's, listen, I can just tell you, it's gloom and doom. I go in real quick and I get out of there. Not because it ain't a nice home. It's a beautiful home. Those of you that's been there know it's a great place. But the presence of Mom and Dad ain't there. I believe Psalmist was walking in the house of God and he's saying, I'm in the temple. I'm in the place. But there is something missing. He's looking around and he's saying, I used to come here and I used to experience it. I used to feel it. I used to know it. But what has happened? Listen, here's what I believe Psalmist is saying to us. I have moved away from God and I need to get back to where God is. What happened to him? Listen, David begins to have a pep talk, if you would. He says, soul, why are you disquieted? Why are you cast down? Listen, why are you anxious? I believe David began to have to talk to himself. What do you mean, Brother Jason? Here's what I believe David done. I believe David said, David, have you forgotten that when you set out in the fields playing your harp, when you set out there watching the sheep, how the presence of God would come down as you were singing unto them sheep, how the presence of God would fill your heart. David, do you remember the time that you were sitting in the field and a lion come by and took one of your sheep and the power and the presence of God come upon you, not to make anything of you, but to let you know that God's hand was with you and that God's hand would walk with you, David, because there was a bigger battle coming down the road. And God wanted you to know, David, that you could trust the hand of God and you could trust the power of God. You remember, David, that it's in a heartbeat. The Spirit of God moved upon you and you went and ran and caught the lion, caught the bear, and took the lamb back. You remember how God showed up when you begin to praise Him and worship Him in the field, and God's power fell upon you. David, you remember when you went down to the camps to take your brother some food, and you remember you heard him cursing the God whom you love and whom you serve. Remember how it stirred your heart, David, and you had such a love for me and had such a respect for me that even as a young boy you said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that defiles the gods of Israel? And you asked, who is the man that's going to go fight? And they said, no man is going to go. And you said, I will go. And you remember how Saul tried to equip you, David, with his armor. And you said, I'm not equipped for this stuff. and you win in the power. Remember, David, how you looked the giant in the eye and you said, "You come to me with a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." David, you remember how you trusted God, how you had a confidence in God, how you had a faith in God, how you had a belief in God. David, you remember just a few chapters back how you sat with your pen and you wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want." David, you remember how you trusted God no matter what may come your way and no matter what may happen to you. You kept your heart where God wanted it to be. You kept your faith where God wanted it to be. You had a hope in God. David, what has happened to you? Why have you become so anxious in your soul? David, why have you become cast down? Have you forgot who your God is, David? And I think David begins to talk to himself. I think David begins to remind himself who God is. Boy, I was sitting in my office the other day, and I'll just be honest with you, I was a little anxious in my soul. We were fixing to do a $55,000 renovation in our church, and I'm thinking, "Good Lord, I'm spending money fast." And when you spend money fast, it makes you a little nervous as a pastor. Say amen. Not that I didn't have no control or I didn't have the right. They gave me the right. But I had done all this and ordered all this, and I'm anxious, and God said, "Hey, I love when my house is taken care of. I love when my people are excited about me. I love when you're setting an atmosphere that shows that God's house is the most important house. Hey, we'll take care of our place." And God began to speak. Here's what He showed me. I was studying the names of God, and I've been teaching them on Wednesday nights. And God began to remind me. He said, "Hey, I want you to pick up the Word of God. I want you to pick up your book over there and a pen. I want to show you some stuff." And I picked up a pen, and God began to show me and remind me some stuff. He said, "Listen." He said, "We forget who I am. You forget. You get anxious and you forget that I am the Almighty God. You forget that I am the God who spoke everything." And so He takes me back and reminds me, "Hey, remember just a few weeks ago, He said, how you taught on in the beginning God." And I went back to that, and God showed me. He said, "Hey, in the beginning, I put that word God there, and it means Elohim." He said, "Elohim means this, that I'm the God of creation. I'm the powerful Creator." And when I begin to dig into that, and I taught it to my people, then I pulled my notes out, and God began to point things out to me. He said, "Here's the thing about that. I don't work in time. I don't work in space. I remind you that I'm Elohim for this reason. Because I can speak and things will happen. I can show up when you're faithful to me." Listen, I got to thinking about that, and I've shared it with my church. We take a carpenter and we throw him a pile of wood and we say, "Hey, build me a house or build me something nice." God said, "You remember that I stepped out on the midst of nothing, had nothing, and spoke it all into existence." And God said to me, "Hey, that's the God I am. I'm the God who can add to and speak life into and make it happen." God said, "Let me take you a little farther, Jason, and show you a few things that you need to be reminded of." He said, if you look a little farther in Exodus chapter 3, and I want to tell you, this body ain't built for running, all right? But when I get excited, I can't help myself. And I'm sitting in my office in the middle of the week. And I come across Exodus. And I've preached this before. When Moses come to the burning bush, and Jesus said to him, "Take your shoes off, you're on holy ground." God begins to speak to him. He says, "Who am I going to tell?" You know the story. "Who am I going to tell them sent me?" God began to minister in my heart, and here's what He showed me. I always preach the I am. You go back and read that scripture. He says, "I am that I am." Now you say, what's the importance of that, Brother Jason? When do we speak to ourselves about who God is? Listen, when I'm disquieted and I'm discomforted, my soul is anxious, I need to remind myself who God is. That's what David had to do. The faithfulness of God. And so I'm sitting in my office, and God takes me to Exodus chapter 3, and He shows me, hey, He said, "Jason, let me show you what the I am that I am means." He said, "You are because Mike and Brenda is. Mike and Brenda is because your grandparents were." If that ain't enough, He said, "You are not only because Mike and Brenda were and you were born. You are because you have food and you have air and you have the things that provide you strength to keep life. I am not because I depend on anything else. Not that I have to have the help of anything else. I exist and I live and I reign and I always will be because I am God and I'm self-sufficient and I depend upon myself. And so you need to remember, Jason, that I don't have to have the help of anyone, anything, anytime. I am God and I always will be God. Nothing will unseat me. Nothing will take my place. Nothing will overreign who I am. I don't depend on anybody else or anything else. I exist and I will be. I will reign and I will be Lord because I am God. And I got excited. I'll just be honest with you. I got excited. I began to think about what was happening to David. Here's, in closing, I want to show you this. He said, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted?" That means, why are you, your soul ever got anxious within you? See, here's what I believe David begins to see within himself. Nothing's more grievous, I believe, to the soul than when we, as God's people, begin to depend on the things that take us away from God and distance us from God. And when we realize what caused us to begin to doubt God, that thing becomes so grievous to us. And as I was studying this, I seen that David remembers, hey, I had a longing for God. I loved going to the house of God and meeting with God. I had a presence of God upon my life. I continually walked with God and praised God. And now all of a sudden, my soul is cast down. My soul is doubting. My soul is beginning to sink. Why? Listen, I believe, friend, with all of my heart, that when the soul begins to rest on itself, that soul begins to sink. When I begin to trust in me, the billows of life overwhelm me. When I begin to look at what I can do, and what I can accomplish, and begin to trust in my faith and my abilities and my strength. Listen, the toils of life and the waves of life overwhelm me. And I believe that's, listen, don't get me wrong, don't think bad of David. We walk this faith long enough, we begin to think we got a few things figured out. We begin to think we've got it down to a science. We begin to think that we know where Satan's going to work. And God's been working in me mightily the last few weeks and months and years, and God showed me, hey, Satan is a mastermind at wiling and working in the lives of people. And the way that he gets people from the very first is he puts doubt in the mind. And when he gets us to doubting, does God still care? Is God still able? Hey, God has to shake us sometimes and remind us, oh, I'm still faithful. I'm still on my throne. I'm still the Almighty God. I'm still the Everlasting Father. I'm still here today. I'll be here tomorrow. And I'll be here forevermore. Don't forget who I am. Know who I am. Understand who I am. Believe who I am. And know in faith that you can walk in who I am. And trust me. And listen, when we get to trusting in ourselves, we sink. It catches hold of us, and it begins to overwhelm us. And what is our support? And what begins to work in our lives? Listen, our comfort comes in Jesus Christ. And I think David wrote some things here. If you look in verse number 1, I want you to notice this, and then I'll be done. He said, God, I'm longing to see you again. God, I'm longing to know you. God, I'm longing to experience you in the fullness. Listen, we've heard enough preaching this week, and I'm telling you, Bible preaching, God's Word, to move us to a place of revival, not just in this church, but in our lives and our communities, that would shake the world if we'd obey it. What is it, Brother Jason? We've got to long for God. We've got to get sick of our results. When I do what I do, I get what I've done. But when God does what He does, you have to back up and say, wow, amen. And the Bible wants us to understand through what David's writing here, as a hart panteth after the water brooks. Now listen, I'm not going to go into that detail. If you're not a hunter, you don't listen, even if you are a hunter, you think you know it, go and study it a little more. The deer longs, cannot live without, understands the importance of the water brook to its life. David said, God, my soul is so desperate. My soul is so dry. My soul is so barren. God, I'm so sick of going to the house of God and not feeling a move of God. I'm so sick of being in my home with my family and God not having the power of God in my family. God, I am so tired of going through life without Your presence and Your power that as a deer pants for the water, God, my soul longs for You, God. I need You. David knew God was faithful. He said, God, my soul needs more of You. I'm longing for You, God. He says, and I love this in verse 2 how He says it. My soul thirsteth for God. And in case anybody wondered, He said, let me go ahead and tell you which God it is. It's the living God. I'm not satisfied with just anything, He said. I'm not satisfied. Listen, we've got a lot of gods, and I'm not going to preach there. I know we preach there half the day, but listen to me. He said, here's where my soul's longing for. Listen, you may think everything else will bring the peace you're longing for. You were created, you were made and formed and fashioned for one reason. And that's to fill your heart, soul, and life with the living God. David is saying to us here, if you read between the lines, David is telling us, hey, nothing else is going to fulfill this thirst. Nothing else is going to quench this thirst. Nothing else is good enough except you get with the living God. David knew. Oh, he had been there. He knew what it took. And he said, the only thing going to fill this thirst is the living God. I want you to look at verse 5 in closing. Notice what he says. That's my third closing, so I'm closing now, all right? Brother Derek says, why do you say that? Brother Derek always said it makes them feel better, amen, when you tell them you're closing. Verse 5, look at this. He says, oh my soul, why are you cast down? Why are you anxious within me? Notice what he says. Hope thou in God. Very simple. What does hope mean? Trust. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. He talks to himself out of the dumps. As I was describing a while ago about talking to my son, David is, if you would, is looking at himself and he's saying, David, you know better. You know better, David, than the place that you're at. You know, David, how to get yourself back to where you're feeling the presence and the power of God. David, you know what it takes. And look what he says. Trust in God, David. I love this. I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. I went and looked up that and studied that all this last few weeks on help of His countenance. You know what that means? I will thank Him for His presence that appears. Oh, listen to me. There ain't nothing like the presence of God. I love when I get in the presence of certain people and get to be around them. It brings me a lot of joy and brings me a lot of happiness. I love when Mom and Dad come in off the road and we get to eat dinner together and we get to spend time together and fellowship together. I enjoy that. But can I tell you something? There ain't nothing like the presence of God. When God shows up and His presence is real, David says here, hey, I'm going to hope and trust in the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and praise Him. How long, David? Till His presence shows up. I love how Brother Allen says, hey, we got to work at it. Hey, that ain't trying to work up anything. That's trying to do our reasonable service unto God. Praise Him. How long, Brother Jason, till His presence shows up? Because when His presence shows up, listen, your heart is fulfilled. Your thirst is quenched. You've got what you've needed. Brother Jason, when do I talk to myself about God? When your heart's disquieted, when you begin to doubt, when you begin to wonder, listen, don't trust in yourself. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. He will direct your path. Fall in love with God. Fall in love with who He is. Giving your life and your heart. Serve Him with all your heart. Come to His house with singing and praise. And know that He is God, and He will show Himself to you. Amen. I want you to stand all over the house this morning.